15 minutes or something.
For sure. No, but yeah, man, it was just like all the way until like midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning, the streets were just like littered with people. Like,
what is this like, for?
Pokemon Go.
Oh no. Yeah, okay.
Like back in 2016, and I just thought that it was wild because people were actually going outside and getting active and like taking their kids out in strollers and, you know, just catching them all. Yeah. And, you know,
like, and Pokemon IRL.
Dude, I remember, like, you know, you could choose, you know, I'm going to geek out a little bit.
Go. Yeah, hit me with it.
Like, that you could, you, if you know how it is, you know that, you know, you choose between team blue, red, or yellow.
Yeah.
And so.
Hold on. What team were you?
I went blue.
Okay.
I went blue. Yeah.
Respectable.
Mystic. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And.
I think I also chose Mystic.
Red's a little aggressive, and the yellows were just like third party. I got to be on you know, some team, you know.
Right.
And so yeah, like me and my homie Derek, we just went wild, and we got a huge like group of people that would go out with us, and we would just like wreck gyms. Like we would just go to bed after the entire town was just like blue, and you know, like it was dumb, like you know, but. But it wasn't because, you know, like, people were more active than they had ever been, like, in a long time.
Fuck yeah. No, like, video game did that, too.
Yeah, like... Yeah,
got everyone out on that gang shit.
We were picking up trash off of the streets, you know, like, leaving the town better than we found it. And it was because of fucking Pokemon.
Yeah,
because
you're like, fuck, I want to walk through here, but I
fucking hate Pokemon.
That there's trash.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm allowed to cuss, right?
Yeah,
I should have.
Yeah. Yeah.
I figured that, yeah. But I just like I can. Turn...
This is not for kids. Yeah, okay. We're smoking weed.
Yeah, man. This is clearly a 21 plus.
Right.
We put it on 21 plus on everything too. Okay. So it's my understanding they play it at a frequency that when it hits children's ears, they just can't even.
Right. They're like, why is this a blank podcast?
Yeah.
I can't.
It's just like
why
like
do people listen?
Opposite
to this?
Of mosquito ringtone, where like you can't hear it if you're old. It's like you can't hear this shit if you're young.
Right. That's so awesome.
Oh man. So Miles, welcome to the studio, man.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah,
appreciate you being
smoking
here.
Smoking with Miles. Yeah, dude. Fuck.
So let's get into it, man. What are you about? What do you do? What is the life of Miles?
So like right now I'm working with Josh at Dank's Wonder Emporium. It's my first industry job. Let me just take a little puff for Rooney.
Yeah, sure. Miles is a former Navy. He used to be in the Navy for how many years?
I did 5 in the Navy. I was an electrician's mate in the engineering department on the USS Jason Dunham. That's an Arleigh Burke class destroyer that is based out of Norfolk, Virginia right now. So
you're saying a lot of military things.
That sounds official. On a destroyer.
I'm a weed smoker. I don't know a lot about that, but
I know that destroyers can fuck up submarines.
Destroyers. the one that I was on definitely specialized in shooting things that needed
destroying.
Destroy.
Things.
Yeah.
That's a. How'd they get the name? How'd they name that thing?
So the Jason Dunham, they typically, as far as I know it, any ship is usually named after someone, you know, that's worth mentioning or remembering. So Jason Dunham, he was a Marine, and he basically was awarded Marty High, guys.
It's Jeff Dunham's brother, right? The puppet guy? No, I'm just fucking with you. That's what he's famous for, being that guy's brother.
Yeah, the puppet comedian's brother, for
did
sure.
Did he get the...
It's not the Purple Heart. It's like the... He definitely got that, but there's more that I'm just...
Silver Star?
Something fancy like that. Anyway.
He did a thing.
That's what a lot of people get in battles, is like the Silver Star if they don't get the Medal of Honor.
Right. Yeah. He basically... a grenade was thrown at him and his platoon or what, something like that, and he took his helmet and he jumped on top of the grenade.
With the helmet?
He put the grenade on top of the helmet and then... saved probably 3 or 4 of his comrades by doing that, and he died from injuries, like internal injuries he sustained in the hospital like 3 days later. And so the ship was named after him, and we actually ended up getting one of his like like first or second cousins or something that was like just a little 18-year-old or something like on the ship. Can't remember what his name was, but he was like a hull technician in the engineering department. So it was kind of cool because we got to like work with one of the dudes that was related to the guy that our ship was named after, basically. So
hell yeah.
That was fucking crazy, cool. Dude. Hell yeah. Garrett, before we get too hot and heavy, let's talk about what we're smoking.
Hey, man, that's where I was headed. Okay, I was going to let him take his break so he could smoke his weed, but here we are. Okay, so what we got passing around to start is going to be this Lava Cake by yours truly at Plaid Jacket. It's PJ. You know, there's not a lot to say about this weed because I don't know too much about it personally, but I know that it tested out at like something like 12%, 12 to 15%. So I kind of wanted to start with that, see how you guys like kind of hit that at the sober level.
Yeah.
See how, you know, how bullshit numbers are.
Yeah, we kind of talked about that a little bit with Greg too a while back.
Yeah. I love having that conversation.
Yeah.
You know, it's strangely enough, I don't know why this is, and any bud tender will agree with me. I think. The people that are convinced that numbers are the only thing that matters are, like, it seems to be the older generation. Like, and I'm not trying to call anyone out or anything, but I do feel like it's a majority of the ones that grew up in the smoking in the 70s or you know, around that time. That are just kind of trained in their ways or something.
I don't even think it comes from smoking in the 70s, dude. I think that they're like,
you is know, it just an age
pharmaceuticals and like alcohol has like.
But what's fascinating about that is when they were smoking weed, when they started smoking weed or whatever, say 70s, 80s, 90s, even, there were no tests. Their numbers were significantly lower, and we can trace that back.
Yeah.
They were smoking what we are smoking now with this 12% roughly, right? Mm-hmm. So now that they're trying to get this 30% weed makes zero sense from a logical standpoint. They just think that higher number makes higher them, which maybe, in the short term. But when you're pushing that number up, you're pushing all the other numbers down.
Right.
Right.
And kind of like what we touched on before, I don't want to go too deep here, but those numbers are of a total mass. So if it's a flower weight, right? Like a lot of that organic mass is going to be plant material. And so you're really only 30 some odd percent, I would say high 30s tops. And that's a monster strain where you could get where that's terpenes and cannabinoids of total plant matter. Cause you got the leaves and the stems and the other thing that are involved in that percentage, right? So having a 30% THC, well, that's not leaving you a ton of room for those other minor cannabinoids and terpenes and things that you don't really know about, but are so important to your overall high strength and longevity, and also the flavor of the weed and the shape that your high is going to take, so to speak. So, I think that those 30% really, if they are 30%, they really, it's like I describe it as jet fuel, right? Like it's going to get you really high, but it's going to burn out really quick. Mm-hmm. And you know, you're going to be chasing that high.
Mm-hmm. I don't know why you're getting picked up a lot on his mic, but you know what? It's going to melt. It's going to be all right. I think we're going to be all right.
Yeah. Face Sweet. Melt.
But that's okay.
I also like telling people that are convinced that numbers are everything. You know, we had a strain from Seattle Marijuana Company called Acai Gelato.
Yeah.
That's a non CBD strain that was tested at 8% on the last batch that we got.
It's funny you say Seattle Marijuana Co. because when we were talking back with Greg, that's what we were smoking.
Oh,
purple
very nice.
Pine cone, I think it was. That's, it was like 12%.
Really good one too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, if people don't want to believe,
dude, I love people, dropping those hammers on people.
Yeah, because it's like, look, it's our job to smoke as much weed as we can so that we can tell you guys, the customers, like what the best stuff is. And right. So if you don't believe me, like someone with a tolerance like mine, that I can get really stoned off of two bowls of this 8% weed, right, then I guess nothing's going to convince
you. Right, no, I love, you know, I, like, and you hit them hard with like at Banks, we have a return policy, right? So you're like, just you can just bring it back, dude. Like, let's just see. You kind of get into this challenge mode with them. My favorite thing is to just wreck people with this fucking small ass percentage weed, like in the nicest way possible. I'm giving them all this info. We had a company back in the day. Well, we still carry them. GLW had like a Black Jesus OG or Kendo cookies or something, but at that time it was testing at like, man, like 15% or something, like nothing crazy. And then we also had this Death Star from the High Road that was like 13 or 14%, right? Really? And right, and both of those are fucking soul crushers, right? Like both of those strains will just put you down. My favorite thing was to get those people who were like, oh, I'm going chasing the numbers, and be really upset that the highest thing we had in the whole shop was like 25 or 26%. Mm-hmm. Like, just mad at you personally for not carrying it. And you're like, hey, you know what? I'm so sorry, but I also deal with these similar problems, or I have trouble sleeping or pain, this and that. I smoke this, right? And you just point them over to the strain. And if you can convince them to do that, and then at the end they like, they see the number and you're like, hey, if this doesn't do it for you, please like bring it back.
Yeah.
I will, like, my name's Josh. I'll do the return. Like, you know, like, come back and we'll set you right. But I feel like this is going to be the one, man.
Right.
And then they come back and they're like, holy shit, dude. And you're like, yeah, man.
Yeah.
There's a lot of I think a placebo can work both ways too. Cause you'll get those like crotchety old people, and not to just demograph them, but they're kind of the majority, but they, even if you can, I don't say you would convince them, because they'll come back and be like, dude, that didn't work for me. Mm-hmm. When it probably did, they just thought so hard that it wasn't, that they just convinced themselves that they weren't high,
right?
And I'm like, man, that's kind of, you're kind of fucking yourself. Like,
yeah, dude, like the people who are like, oh, edibles don't get me high at all, a little bowl of weed will get me high, but really edibles. And I'm like, what kind of medications are you taking? And they're like, none. And I'm like, that's crazy, man. That's really crazy to me that you can smoke weed and you get really high. So I know your body's receiving these, you know, it's like it's hitting you on the cannabinoid level, and you don't have any like stomach issues or health problems that you're taking medications that would potentially block, or health problems that would potentially block your ability to ingest this, right? So I'm just like, man, dude, like, because 100 milligrams, I smoke a lot, and 100 milligrams will have me smacked. Like, if I just take 100 milligram edible, I'm gone.
Maybe their liver is just not,
like, gone, dude. Their liver's done.
Not gone, but maybe it just doesn't process cannabinoids the same as yours. I mean, nobody's...
No, it won't, for sure. It's all going to be different. But when you can rule out the fact that their liver isn't processing it at all, right? Like, when you can ask some questions and know, like, hey, they're going to get something, right? Like, they should get something.
Right.
Or they're dying, right? Something's seriously wrong with them. Their liver's not working at all. You have 3 days to live, dude.
Yeah.
Go spend it with your family, because your liver's gone.
I think I'm kind of... I definitely consider myself, like, one in the group of people that, like... I have to ingest a lot of THC to be able to get an edible high that people talk about. I still think I haven't had one of those, like, you know, zombie mode, like couch locked, like multi-day highs that people have told me stories about. I've never had something like that. And I've definitely had, you know, claim to be strong edibles that people have either made like at home or whatever. I mean, like, I can take a full gram of RSO and I can take a full gram of, you know, 80%+ RSO and go to a concert in Seattle and drive home and be perfectly fine.
Maybe your metabolism, you died, I don't know, maybe it passes just through, like, you quick enough.
800 milligrams.
So, yeah, it took me a lot of money and time to, like, try and, like, figure that out, you know. And I mean, those little vials that we sell, the 100 milligram, like, those are pretty cool.
You weren't the first person to tell me this either, that you just didn't get high. I've had people down a gram of RSO and either not feel it or barely feel it.
Or just get a big stomach ache. And, so it's like, So I don't even like flipping the coin really with RSO anymore, because it's like, if I'm going to eat something that tastes like shit, then at least, you know, like, I want some consistency, you know? Right, yeah. Mushrooms are always going to get you fucked up.
Have you tried, like,
They taste like shit, but they will always get you.
Yeah.
Either
yeah.
sick or high or both.
Right.
Yeah, or both. I'm interested to know if... Have you done any, like, Delta 8 edibles?
I have. So
how did that, like, what happened?
Right. There? So I have, I've tried the Delta 8, the Smokies that we had. I think I tried, I think I tried four or five probably at once just to, you know, that's usually if it's, you know, single servings, like if we're talking Washington laws, then I'm going to try four or five of them. Just to see, like, is that a good baseline starting point? Kind of. I don't remember getting very high at all from eating four or five of them.
Wow. Hell yeah.
And as know. Far
that's
as
that's upsetting.
That's it, upsetting.
It's
but
kind
like,
of upsetting.
Like, you're an animal, dude. Like, that's beast. To me, in my mind.
The only other experience would be that I know for sure of is the Mobius pineapple. The Delta 8 pineapple drinks that we have, I think it's 50 milligrams.
Yeah,
which
something
is,
like that.
Yeah, and so I'll drink a whole... I don't feel really anything from drinking a 10 serving of one of those either. So the only thing... I haven't smoked any. Like, I haven't tried any of the Delta 8 cartridges that we sell. But I don't know. I'm just kind of like...
No, yeah.
I expect that it might not do anything for me.
Maybe not so. Eating it, but I would... Like, maybe other ways. That would be an interesting experiment to see, like, if
right.
you smoked the Delta 8.
I think that's the only other box I have to check to see
yeah.
if, like, if Delta 8 does anything. And admittedly,
maybe a transdermal.
Yeah. Admittedly, I haven't done enough of my own research into Delta 8. I should educate myself more just because I don't know.
Well,
really.
There's not a whole lot of research out there on it.
Right, that's
like,
why
it's pretty new on the...
That's why it's not illegal... Right? Like in states that are otherwise illegal.
Yeah, because it's not Delta 9 THC.
There's illegal states like selling Delta 8 cartridges, right? I mean,
yeah.
Like,
well,
legally.
Because legally, the only thing that you can't sell is things
there's
that contain
no
a certain percentage
it, right?
of, yeah, Delta 9.
Right.
That's the thing that they test for. That's what they, and that's the thing that's fucked up. It's like, because you can remove this and other cannabinoids can get you
right.
some type of these effects. Like, you could have a lot of CBN.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of Delta 8 and
yeah.
and still I would say get some type of like heavy sedative head change high if you had enough of those.
Right. Yeah, so yeah. I'm not sure. I'm still, you know, open-minded. I don't like telling customers about it because, like, frankly, I don't push things on customers that don't get me high, you
yeah,
know, and so
right,
like
sure,
I don't
right.
like to speak for my experience. Typically, if you tell somebody that I don't get that you don't get high from something, they don't want
right.
to bother.
Yeah,
even
like,
though
well,
their even though their outcome could be completely different,
100%,
they don't
yeah.
they're not willing to spend money on it. So
that's very interesting,
right? So I'm you kind of have to pick about. And choose, like with cannabis, like what you say doesn't, because you don't want to say it's bad. Like Trop Santo from Rocket.
Yeah.
Everybody loves that strain. And I hate telling customers that I didn't get high from it because I stopped saying it because I don't want people to think that, like, they're not going to get high. I guess I'm weird in that sense, like, for that
yeah,
strain.
You're like, hey,
but that's
like,
cannabis for you, man. Like,
right.
everyone's
like,
different.
Hell yeah. I love that, so. That we have, like, real life on the show experience of that, because we talk about that all the time, right? Like, our experiences aren't always the end all be all. Like, everyone's mm-hmm. going to experience this differently. And
right.
yeah, you're right. Like, you can have one thing that totally wrecks you, and then for somebody else, like, they're fucking bulletproof to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then
yeah.
like vice versa. Like, somebody can be like, dude, this weed was fire, and I come and like recommend this. Mm-hmm. I have that happen at the shop all the time where bartenders are like, dude, this one. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. And I'll go smoke it, and I just like don't tell them later that it was trash. But I'm
yeah.
like, dude, I really like, I wasn't feeling that, or it wasn't my cup of tea. But yeah,
right.
like, it's just it, everyone is different, and your
mm-hmm.
biology for your body is gonna definitely affect
yeah
that.
So I guess as the consumer, you have to just kind of decide whether or not it's worth trying something new, or, you know, I don't know. So, because I don't know, I like to try new stuff, like, and
fuck
you
yeah.
know, that kind of goes back to trying to force myself to smoke more sativas, because
mm-hmm.
like I said, it's harder for me to find good ones that get me high, or, you know, like, or they just get me too racy and I get anxiety, or
mm-hmm.
and just like don't get high.
I know some people who really like that high though, and I don't get it. I've never
I think it's all about like context and like time and place. So perfect example. I just tried a gram of ATF from Noble, Alaskan Thunderfuck, and I smoked it in the hopes that like I would be good to like write or do a final for my class that I just wrapped up like a couple weeks ago, or like less than like a couple weeks ago. I thought that like ATF would be good because I thought that like it would give me the energy to like you know, be aware of, you know, the need for focus and stuff. Dude, I smoked that like, and as soon as I took one hit, like I started sweating profusely.
Like your palms.
My palms, yeah. And like, dude, my heart was racing, and like I was starting to like have like the underlying like symptoms of a fucking panic attack. Damn. And I was like, dude, this was the worst idea. Yeah. And like I had to immediately smoke an indica to like counter it. I was like, get out of here, devil.
Fight fire with fire.
Yeah, dude. So like time and place, man. You know.
Get out of here, devil.
Oof. That is fucking great. Well, not great for you, I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, it's
happened. You know, so, everybody eventually. Yeah.
I think if you are in a good headspace and you just wanna, you know, go run a marathon, then ATF is great for you. But like, for me, it's just
I'd be interested to know like if allergies play a factor into that, because terpenes are really common in like multiple different plants, right?
Wow,
like, you know, that's so like maybe if those like terpenes that you're experiencing give you that effect, maybe because they're commonly found in something that you're allergic to, your body's just like, nah, fuck.
That's really interesting. I just like in the past few years have developed like new allergies. Who knew that you could get brand new allergies when you become an adult? That fucking sucks, right?
Yeah.
I just in the past 5 years have developed an allergy to basically any fruit that has a pit in it. Which I don't know if you've ever thought about that.
That's
but
a lot.
That's all a lot of the best fruits.
Yeah. Right.
Peaches.
Yeah.
Fucking nectarines,
yeah.
Cherries,
yeah.
Plums,
ooh.
like a lot of really good fruits. Like make the inside of my mouth like itch, and like make my throat like itch, and my lips go like numb.
Damn,
it fucking sucks.
That fucking sucks. So,
but like, I've never smoked anything that's made my mouth itch. But like, does your body react to like allergens and terpenes like differently than like, you know?
Yeah, I think like maybe maybe you don't get the full on like anaphylactic, like those allergy symptoms,
the
because
same.
It's not the thing you're actually allergic to, but because it's associated with, like, your body knows on that level, like chemically it's associated with this thing that is not fucking good,
like,
for you.
It's not gonna be the same physiological response. Yeah, but
maybe your body's like, nah, dog, like we're not having a good time. We're stressed out right now. Like, we're expecting death here in seconds.
That's how it is with pining and myself. I noticed hazes a lot of the times. So go figure. Like, just like freak me out, get that weird helicopter high.
Yeah.
They're all high in that pining, but ones that like lemon haze, like those are fire for me. I love lemon hazes. They get me in that like right space and everything. And so like, it is kind of, I think there's, if you have it, but you also have other things to like kind of like CBD and THC, you know, you get too high, you can like cut that a little bit. If you smoke some CBD or eat some CBD, or maybe not you eat some CBD, but,
inject it.
Just inject it into the bloodstream.
For you, yeah.
what are your...
now that you said that really quick, just to bounce off of that, were you saying maybe not me to eat CBD because it wouldn't do... Like, my body wouldn't... So, to be honest, like, this is strange, but, like, if I eat... I got a vendor sample of Doozy's gummies, 30 to ones.
Oh, okay.
So packed with quite a bit of CBD, and like I had a really fucking bad headache, and to the point where I was like, and I didn't have any like Advil like on me or whatever, and it was so bad that like I wanted to try anything to make it like maybe go away before I started to get home. So I just fucking popped one of those 30-to-1s, and like the headache was like damn near gone before I even got home.
What?
Right. So like does my body, isn't that a trip? Yeah. Maybe, so like
maybe the CB receptors in the liver, your CB1, which I think is associated with THC, doesn't fire as well as your CB2 receptor in your liver, and your CB2 receptor maybe has that like pulls from that and like just extra absorbs it.
Wow.
Because if you got, by the time you got home, felt
it was within
on a gummy, right?
I felt like immediate relief, like on my way home. I would, like the throbbing went away, and I love
that.
Like
I want to know the science then on that,
right? And that's a, like
I need to study you, man.
I'm still I'm still like too
not a doctor,
new,
but I want to start,
I guess.
Cutting shit out.
Yeah. Yeah. So I still have so much to learn. You know, like I'm less than 5 years in on the whole cannabis thing for me, and so I'm
let's go, let's, man. That's actually a perfect segue into let's talk about like your military time a little bit, but like I want to know about ailments that you had throughout the military, and specifically ones that you've used cannabis for after your time, and like what that paradigm or how that shift was, like how you dealt with it when you couldn't smoke weed,
right?
And then how it is now.
Yeah that's a really, that's a good topic for sure. Just because like I know for sure that like I probably would not have tried like a list of things that I really have no business like trying as far as substances go, if not for being able to smoke weed. You know, I tried a lot of dumb shit that I had no business doing, but because like I was so stressed from work, and this isn't me, this is like me and all of the people that I worked with, we were all going under like the same amount of stress and shit.
Yeah.
And so knowing that like weed is gonna be like, So the way that the military does their urinalysis, I'll just give you like a brief like why like we do all these other drugs, because I'll take this and then pass it. So urinalysis is completely random. There were times where I was on the list every day for like a week straight. There were other times where I had to pee in a cup every fucking day for a week. There were other times where it was so random that I wouldn't have to pee for 6 months. So the risk was not worth smoking weed because like you would experience those intermittent changes like all the time. Like it was just not worth the risk. Reason being is because every urine sample in the military, I'm pretty sure this is not just Navy wide, but in the military gets sent for cocaine and THC. Like everyone is going to get tested for that. And then you have all your other drugs that are not nearly as popular or easy to obtain or whatever you want to call it. And so like one out of every maybe like 500 samples will get selected and be like, okay, this one is going to get tested for MDMA. It's going to get sent off and get tested for that one. And so it was a lot easier to fuck around with like psychedelics and stuff like that, and other hard drugs, because like you knew that the chances of it getting selected for that substance was like way lower.
Whoa.
Than smoking weed or doing cocaine.
Crazy. So you'd roll those dice because you know,
absolutely worth rolling those dice.
That seems the most inefficient way to do urine samples.
Yeah,
my buddy. My buddy was, but random as fuck, man. So I mean, sure, but my buddy was in the Air Force, and he said and he smoked weed and did cocaine, right? So he was just like
the
really
balls.
Casting the dice. He was playing roulette with only black. They would select you, and your whole like platoon or whatever, a group of people would get tested. And if one person tested hot, then they'd all have to do another round, right?
Wow, okay.
It wasn't like that one specific person just got singled out. They just... because they just test them all in like a batch sense, I guess.
Okay.
Gotcha. I don't know. That's kind of how he explained it to me. And
interesting.
Then,
okay.
And then if they tested hot, or if one of them tested hot, they'd all have to go back and get tested again.
Right.
So like if he did coke and he got tested hot, and then they just, and then he knew he had to take a test, he would just stop doing cocaine. Because then the next test, they wouldn't be hot.
Interesting.
Right. Okay. So like, I don't know.
Maybe if that is. Maybe it does differ like into like how they select like which groups of people get tested.
It all seems. I guess it would be inefficient though.
Oh, for sure.
Like, why not just like, oh, that tested hot. That guy is that's the one. You know, it's right. Almost like they just dump all the piss into a bucket and test it.
Exactly. Like, that doesn't. Yeah, dude. Like, and
somebody has done the marijuana.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, and you know, to be completely honest, you know, it's like it wouldn't be uncommon for you to like find out who the. If you could trust whoever was like part of the urinalysis coordinator program, like if you were friends with them and they were cool, then like they would tell you like, hey, just so you guys know, like there's going to be a command-wide sweep on like next Monday after everybody gets back from, you know, Christmas stand down. So make sure like you're clean when everybody comes back. Wow. You know, so it's like,
yeah, gotta have a homie like that.
There's so many people in the military that use drugs because they can't smoke weed and they're tired of getting drunk. Like, and you know, it's like, I drank so much booze, dude. Like I don't know, man. It's like, yeah. Let's
talk wild. About that,
dude. It's wild. Like I was hella overweight. Like by the time I got out of the Navy, I was probably almost 200 pounds of fat. I've never been more muscular than like I am right now. So like to be that, like, I don't know. And yeah, just like, I don't know. It's just like, there was no like reward for any amount of stress that you had to do because like you were salary. So like there was no 9 to 5, you know, and like,
whatever.
And deployments, you know, it's like you go on tour and stuff and those kinds of situations are interesting because, you know, it's like, I don't know. Like I always explained like sleeping on the ship, like imagine like the shelf in your closet, like at the top, it's like maybe like, I don't know, 2 feet wide. And you had like a mattress that was like, I don't know, 6 inches thick at the most.
Yeah.
And that was like, that was where you slept for, I don't know, my first deployment was 11 months. I slept in one hotel, like one night over an 11 month span, like every other night was in that fucking bed, you know? And so it's like, and depending on like how well the staffing was for people that were qualified to stand certain watches, there were times where like it wasn't uncommon for you to be put on a watch rotation that is, we call a port and starboard, which is the Navy's way of saying left and right. In the sense of like a watch rotation, that means that you are 6 hours on and 6 hours off. And so like the longest time that I was on that rotation, for like a month at one point where, you know, you are on watch, taking readings on equipment, like starting and stopping like massive generators and shit, you know, like doing like water washing the internals of that generator and shit, you know. Like a whole bunch of other stuff like that. You do it for 6 hours and then you get 6 hours off and you sleep during that 6 hours because you have to wake up and do it again, like in six hours. So like I would work from, and they also push a bunch of other shit on top of you because you're supposed to go above and beyond, to look good. And so like you have to get, so I had to work on like while I was six on and off, I had to work for like my warfare qualification, the surface warfare pin that's, you know, the big fancy one that that we wear.
Yeah.
And so like I would be on watch from like 6 a.m. until noon, and then I would be off from noon until 6 p.m. And during that time, I had to do like divisional duties, like maintenance on equipment and shit like that. That was like my day job time. Yeah. And then I would have to stand watch from 6 p.m. until midnight, which was, you know, not my day job related at all. That was just watch standing. And then after that, that was the time that was devoted. That was like the only time for myself that I had was after midnight. And during that whole month, like I had to go and work with my partners for that qualification. Like, I had two partners that I went up for, like, our oral board for that. And, like, and so I had to go to the radio. Like, that was because they were the IT guys. And so I would study with them from, like, midnight until 3 or something in the morning, until I would, like, go to bed so that I could wake up at 5:30 and start that shit all over again.
Wow.
So, like, you can see, like, why...
Or maybe you need to smoke some weed.
So, and so you can see, like, why I'm an individual today that, like, I don't complain. Like, yeah. And I have very low tolerance for people that complain, because, like, it can be so much worse. Smoke some weed. It can be so much worse. Yeah. You know, like, and like, I don't know, that whole dynamic was terrible.
Sounds like prison.
The advancement system
with a job.
Yeah, like you're in a contract.
You pay a little better.
Yeah, like,
it sounds like it. Yeah. Seems like you get a little bit thicker of a map.
Yeah,
especially,
it's like,
on a ship, you only have so many places to go.
Yeah, it's only the destroyer was. It's only 500 feet long. You have 300 people living on that bitch.
Go for a swim.
Yeah, dude. Like, it's wild, man.
Get the way from you, motherfuckers.
So like, yeah, man. Like, and that's why. That's so. Like, if you want to talk about why I smoke weed today, like, I smoke weed to help me sleep, because, like, my sleep is totally fucked from the, like any doctor will tell you that the rotations that the military puts the people on that are in there, like, is going to cause them, like, long-term effects on their ability to get, like, deep REM sleep. I don't remember the last time I got good sleep, and it's not because I have PTSD. Like, there's a few situations that I experienced, like, that have to do with suicide, nothing with, like, combat, and not with me, just, like, with people that, like, either I was close to, or, like, that people, you know, that are affected by it, that I'm, like, through other people that I don't know, what, that sort of thing, but, you know, like, or being on the ship on deployment, like, when you're rocking, like, back and forth and stuff, it's the best sleep you're ever gonna get, like, on a ship that's just, like, lulling you to sleep, like, you're in a giant,
and you're already tired,
cradle,
as
yeah, you're just like, oh my god, like, it's bliss, bro, like, yeah, and so, yeah. Like, I don't sleep great anymore, so I love smoking, like, to help me fall asleep.
You get better sleep when you smoke?
I don't dream much anymore, and I would probably attribute that to the fact that I do, if I understand it correctly, like, if you're a dependent smoker, then it does affect, like, your REM cycle a little. Right.
Or if you smoke, like, right before you fall asleep,
something,
it'll interrupt. Yeah, you won't get quite REM
sleep. THC disrupts your ability to get REM sleep.
But my mind definitely moves way too fast. Just, like, that's just who I am. Like, and, like, I have a really difficult time turning that off, even if my body is like, dude, you should have gone to bed hours ago. Right. Like, my mind is still ready and, like, to do stuff. And so I have to smoke before I sleep to, like, slow me down a little bit. Yeah. You know,
do you have any, like, chronic pains or ailments other than, like, fatigue or, like, not getting tired, I guess?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have, like, body pains from that? All of that seems uncomfortable still.
There's nothing really, I mean, I have back problems that are really from, like, before my time in the military, like, because I was in a pretty bad car wreck when I was 18. And so, like, I definitely think it helps with that. But the pain that I had, it was enough to keep me out of construction. Like, I tried construction for a year. I've talked to you, Josh, about that a little bit. But
your back pain.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That definitely, like, affected me to a point where, like, I realized I couldn't be on a ladder for 20 years, you know? And so it was at that point in, like, 2000, after that was a year after I got out in, of the Navy back in 2016. And, where I realized, I was like, dude, I have a GI Bill. They're like, we'll pay you to go to school. And I was like, all right, I'm going to go fucking go to school. Right. And that's when I moved over to Central Washington, Ellensburg, until this whole pandemic shit broke out. And if it weren't for the pandemic, I wouldn't have moved back over here to Western Washington. I wouldn't have gotten into the cannabis industry probably, 'cause I was just like, relying on the VA for like that was like my primary source of income and.
Fuck yeah.
That's so funny that like both you and Greg almost have from that point the same kind of story on how you got to Danks.
Oh, I'm sure.
Like he comes from the east side of the state too and like came over here and then like during COVID and like then eventually and got hired on at Danks. But that's just funny. I was like, damn, I've heard this story kind of like from like right there from Ellensburg to now.
Right.
That's funny.
Yeah.
You guys just both.
I honestly like I didn't even know, I didn't expect to get a job at Danks. I still attribute Itzel to me getting a job there, even though she says that, no, it was you that interviewed well and everything. And like, sure, you know, okay, I know I'm not a dirt bag. Yeah. Like, you know, I know I'm a hard worker, whatever. Like, I know I make a contribution to any company because like I'm, whatever,
especially at that level, right?
Right, and but like, but I definitely didn't have like any cannabis experience like 6 months ago. I definitely couldn't name 5 sativas and 5 indicas in my first interview. You know, which was I thought embarrassing at the time. You know, but I don't know what else you can expect from someone that's never been in the industry, I guess. But but the only reason that I got the job was because like, well, in my mind was because like, Itzel, I don't even know how I met her, but I knew her like from when I was working in construction like 3 years ago. And like, we both smoked weed. That's about it. You know, like maybe it was like, I don't know. And so, so fast forward like, you know, 3 years later, and then I move back over to Western Washington and I need a job and I don't know where I can get work because federal law says that, you know, that like franchises can't hire like THC people, like weed people. Mm-hmm. And why am I calling it weed people? Like we're in a like we're not like normal or I don't know.
The weed people.
Yeah. Stoners. Plus, man. Yeah. And so like all I just saw that she posted something that said like said Danks in some form or another, and that happened to be one of the random shops that I applied to like online that were within acceptable driving distance of like Chehalis Centralia. Right. And so like when I saw that Itzel worked there, all I did was send her a message and be like holy cow, you work there, like I applied there a few days ago, ha ha ha, like, and that was really it. I just was like, hey, that's a strange coincidence. I wasn't asking for anything, and then like I get a call to come in for an interview, and I was just like, and everything just happened really fast after that.
Yeah.
And I don't, and I was, and still like I was so confused for like the first few months because like I was like, I don't know why they're so cool with me, but they're cool with me. Yeah. And I'm still here, and I don't know, man.
Well,
that's,
you're dope,
like, that's the power of giving your 2 cents, man. Just like reaching out to her and just saying, hey, that's great that you got the job, man. And then just like kind of like that was your like first step to, like, you didn't even know it, right? But then you are, and you like it, right?
Oh my gosh, this is so, to compare this to, like, I'm 30, I've tried a lot of different things, you know, like, and because I feel like I feel like it's a right to enjoy your work. Like you should, like your work is like your adult life. That's what defines like your adult story. You know what I mean? Like,
absolutely.
And one of my fears, like, you know, 5 years ago was that I wouldn't be able to find a job that I was like proud to talk about, or, you know, like that I would just not be excited to talk about, you know.
Yeah.
Like I didn't want like some of my closest friends that, or, you know, somebody I haven't seen in a decade to, you know, like, do you like what you're doing? What are you doing? And I didn't want to be the person that's like, it's okay. I kind of like it.
Yeah.
Like, dude, I fucking let everyone hear it in this podcast, I fucking love my job, bro.
Yeah.
Like, and like it's taken a long time to get to a place where I can like confidently say that, but like if it weren't for this shit being federally illegal, I would shout it from the rooftops,
right?
Like, yeah. It's like,
I still shout it from the roof. Like, it's cool to be in the industry. I'm glad you're in the industry too, dude. Like, it's been,
I never thought that like I would like love retail like ever.
Right. And it's such a different retail.
To be able to put cannabis in retail is almost like laughable, because it's like the odd man out right now. Yeah. You know, like people are still
the plug.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Exactly. And for the majority, I'd say, cause I've worked in a couple, I've actually worked at Danks before.
Oh, cool. Cool.
Yeah. And I would say there's still those people who are kind of like grumpy to just be alive, it seems like, but the majority outweighs that. Like, mm-hmm. so many more people are just happy to be there. Yeah, sure, they might complain about high prices elsewhere, but right. they still have the product that they can buy. Mm-hmm. And it's so cool to be in this weird infancy of this prohibition being lifted. Like, yeah. But it's awesome. I'm so glad that like we're at this piece of history that's going to mm-hmm. be written about, you know, back, you know, think of mm-hmm. alcohol prohibition. They were a part of that. I'm sure they were stoked to be fucking moonshiners right. and then have their little speakeasies. But now we're the speakeasies, right? Mm-hmm. But in yeah. a little more legal way. I mean, for it's sure. not in a federal way. Like, the feds could come in and, you know, fuck with us if they really wanted to. But in the long run, I think the benefits outweigh the drawbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. 100%. So it's coming, dude.
Yeah, I'm excited that we're all right at a part of this industry, because yeah. it's going to change the world, at least our country first. But
it's super funny for me to think about, just because, you know, I am still at this, you know, less than 5 year amount of experience. For a majority, I work with a lot of people that are years younger than I am, but they've been smoking since they were like, you know, 14, 15. Yeah. And I'm just like, yo, I have so much to learn from you. Right. You know, yeah. like, and yeah. and like, it's so cool, because we're not even like federally legal yet, and when it happens, anybody that has any amount of cannabis experience from a legal state's point of view is going to be an MVP, like, wherever they yeah. go, because yeah. like yeah. there's going to be, you know, and right. and whoever federally legalizes it, like government wise, like they're going to have a statues of them all over the place, you know, frankly.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, like,
I'll build a statue,
posters
dude.
they're going to have strains named after them for generations to come. Yeah,
forever. Yeah. And, you will be the president that legalized weed.
Yeah.
Forever.
So if you want that title, then, you know, yeah. get
Let's
to
go.
It. Come on.
Let's go. Biden, that's the way.
One ahead. Thing you did say about kids, like, kids being, you know, 14 or, you know, 15 when they're smoking. I wouldn't say any of us are supporters of that.
No. I definitely don't advocate that.
Right, like, I definitely think that...
Me smoked when I was 14 and 15. Don't do that.
Your brain's still developing, and yeah, you really
actually,
shouldn't.
Yes. Really, really bad for your brain.
Yeah, I definitely...
At that age, right? When you hit, like, the 25, 26 plus area, I still think 21 is a little young to, like, at least be smoking as much weed as, say, we smoke, right? Us in the industry smoke.
Okay, so I feel I have some pluses and minuses about that, because there are a lot of real psychological problems and mental health problems that right now kids who are as young as 15, 16, 17, 18 are prescribed medications for,
yes,
that fuck them up, right? They're having way more adverse effects to their brain and their brain development. And so I feel like in those instances, sure, I would prefer medically for you to smoke yes. weed in those instances, or CBD or whatever would be the cannabinoid to help you, instead of being prescribed like Xanax or something that where you're taking that every day and really altering what your brain and maturity would have been like had you not been on those drugs.
Yeah,
right?
Medically definitely should still be available to those who need it, as young as however, right? If
yeah.
you have
if
cancer and you're five
those, yeah.
and RSO is going to help you through chemotherapy and it's not going to ruin you, or... I mean, that kid's already going to have kind of a fucked up life if they have cancer at five and they
right.
have, you know, but if it can help, and its studies have shown that it does help with chemotherapy yeah. and advancing the killing of the cancer in them, or suppressing or stabilizing, or however you want to put it. But I mean, if that's what it takes, I wouldn't be opposed to that. In a medical, very clinical sense. I don't think any kid or any mom at home should be making their kid RSO. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it should be a very dosed and specific thing, just like chemotherapy is, right? They don't just inject an amount of mm-hmm. chemotherapy or say, hey, smoke this amount of chemo. Like, it's that doesn't work that way. So I think, yeah, medical availability for anybody should be available.
I think that's really the only thing that we're speaking against is the recreational use, like when you're well younger than the age that you should be to start trying this stuff. Like it, like, so when I talk about myself, you know, it's like I think I was 14 or 15 the first time that I tried to smoke weed. Mm-hmm. But if I'm being honest, I really didn't smoke weed more than like 5 or 6 times before I joined the Navy, like when I was 21. And so I not even really starting until I was like already 26. Kind of, I feel like gives me like a confidence to be able to tell people that age, like, yes, look, like, trust me, you don't want to like push it like at too early of an age and stuff, you know.
Yeah, I've been smoking since 16 pretty much consistently till now. I've been 10 years now that I've been smoking, and I wouldn't say that it's been great, but now that I'm in this industry and I have this 10 years of experience throughout where I was very first smoking, and I remember that trash weed that I didn't know what the fuck it was till now. I think that, like, still don't start that young. Unless, I guess, that you want it to be your lifelong passion.
No, I mean
that's kind of what it turned to me. I wouldn't say unless. Still don't do it.
Everyone's going to make their own decisions. Right, but, right. I mean, yeah, that's just, I feel like...
Yeah, and you know, I would feel differently if... like the breeding for weed was different. Like if we didn't spend the last 30 years just breeding for high THC numbers and we had some really even keeled, like low THC 1-to-1 CBD 1-to-1, like other cannabinoids present to where it could be less of a head change, but still be nice and relaxing or whatever. Like, man, I'd feel different about that statement too. Like if you were 15 or 16, I would rather you smoke that than cigarettes, right?
Right.
Like, and kids, like kids go and smoke cigarettes and nicotine, yeah, it's bad,
but I would rather
teens out there doing it.
I would rather my kids smoke weed than go party and drink and you know.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm not going to go and hand them weed and be like, here, kids, smoke this.
Yeah.
But, no. You know, like,
definitely not.
Definitely, like, the lesser of two evils, right?
But if you were to choose, right, kind of gun to your head situation, if you had to choose one or the other, it's a pretty obvious choice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, we're not advocating for any kind of young use, but, like,
yeah, there's so much other bad shit that kids are doing
that are legal
that they have access to. Yeah, that's like, damn, dog, where it's like, man, this other thing, if you looked into it, if you made it legal, if you're able to like have some control and the parents had some control and it was dosed, like mm-hmm. you could solve a lot of issues.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
regulation, that's all it really is, just regulate it.
Do you think if like you have parents that like try to shelter you too much, that like, because I feel like I was raised in like a really like, well, it's not like I feel like, I factually was raised in a very Christian, like sheltered household, like as a child. And like part of me feels like I like maybe wouldn't have had so much of a desire to like try experiences if it weren't for like being told I shouldn't.
100%.
Like, and so I wonder.
I think 1,000% that is correct.
5,000%.
It's like, don't push this button.
Yeah, my girlfriend, same kind of scenario. Really good,
that button.
Yeah.
It's almost like you do it to see their reaction. You're like, huh, I want to see what mom says about this tattoo I just got. Or
right. You know, like you put them at odds if they're ever beefing with you. Now the thing to get back at you is to go and do this thing, right? Which right. every kid is going to go through that stage of like, how do I get back at my parents, right? This little rebellious, like, I'm just going to be right. a shit. And whatever you're saying not to do is the shit that they're going to go do, right?
Like my dad told me, like, as I was a child, like, always, like, until I left his house, he's like, if I ever see you pierce your ears, if I ever see your ears pierced in my house, I'm going to rip them out. It's like what he always said. And like, well, I'm at a half inch now, dad. Like,
he's like, sage, like, motherfucker.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know what it is, but
yeah, dude. Yeah. So yeah, same thing. If it was different, And you weren't like, ooh, don't smoke the weed. I feel like
I think it's be just the communication cool thing to do, dude. Conversing and teaching and educating about it is, you know, just like learning or teaching them what they can benefit out of it and not just doing it to feel stupid or to be a suppressant or to, you know, just kind of like be that buffer between whatever their, you know, what the fuck am I trying to say? Whatever they're combating at the time, whether it be, you know, they're bullied at school or they just need to get away, they're feeling depressed. I think it's all about, it really kind of boils down to the parenting, and you need to communicate and talk to your kid about things that are going on and be open to talking about
explain the difference between like don't paint a picture of like, well, he's smoking like it's a drug, or, you know, like why do parents not explain like why that man's drinking a beer while he's barbecuing? Because a beer, like, I don't know, because that's alcohol too. And I just think that like they're, I don't know, the educating your children so that they don't just like look at it as a bad thing, you know, like, because it is medicine for so many people. And I don't know,
and it is recreation on the level of alcohol to so many people too.
Absolutely,
right?
Yeah,
and to the same amount of people,
right? Yeah,
I mean,
right, yeah,
right.
So 21 it's like plus. In 21 plus, if you're gonna relax, you know, like smoking a joint, for in my opinion, is the same. That now I think that smoking a joint in public settings with children present is a horrible idea, because you can't control the smoke the same way you can control the alcohol, right? Like, you can just, but if you're gonna do an edible or if you're gonna vape, or,
I was gonna say the new other Budweiser is your vape.
Yeah,
you know, chilling out at the barbecue, hitting the vape, blowing it up. You know, kids are down here.
Yeah,
I just remember like when I when I first got out and I was like starting to smoke, I was living with my cousin, and like we both like were living in a pretty nice house that he like got a good deal for rent on, because like his boss was his realtor for that place, like to rent it, I guess, and or landlord, I'm sorry. And so like I would smoke. He's like, you can smoke, just not inside the house. He's like, if you want to take up the garage, like, totally cool, man, just like let the, like, just leave it open a little bit. And we had a neighbor move into the house next to us that we learned was like a cop and his family. And I just remember like smoking, like when I would get home and I would just have the garage door, you know, like just a few feet, like no higher than this table right here.
Yeah.
And just to let the smoke out. And I just remembered, like, I would hear them like pull in getting home, and you'd hear the little kids jump out. And I even think one time I even saw a kid's face like just peep under, like to see who's got their garage open. You know, kids don't have any sense of privacy, right? Yeah. And so like, and I would just hear, like, I just remembered hearing the wife complain one day, and all I heard the husband say, well, honey, it is legal here. And it's like, what the, like, what's your problem? You know what I mean? Like, the fact that I have to like hide in a garage, like, because
making me feel like I'm shooting up heroin.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. It's just like, it shouldn't be that
way. You can make the same argument as, we can't smoke in public, we shouldn't smoke in public, but dude, there's cigarette smoke being blown in kids' faces. Yeah.
No, I can't smell your beer, but, you know, it's like...
But there is this cigarette that they, well, I mean, before recently, at 18, could just be like lighting these cigarettes up and be smoking on the playground. Like the difference... And I don't think either of them should be in that situation, you know, but there is this fact that the cigarettes are this prevalent, and, you know, some parents will even smoke in the house with their kids. Like, I think people who are conscious about cannabis even step outside to smoke their joint. Like, you know, like, they're at least a little more considerate, but like, just the fact that like, it's this so stigma of, you know, it's interesting.
It will. I think it'll just be slowly lifted, like as it becomes more normalized and stuff. And I think that the people that disagree with it will see, you know, like the good that comes from it once it is. Because I mean, we just saw in this election just recently, like how many, like over 10 states recreationally legalized.
Oh, it was five.
Five? Oh, yeah. Well.
It's a lot. It's a lot at once. I mean,
yeah, a lot at once. There's way over 10 like total now. I think we're at.
I think teens. That's how I meant to word that.
We're in the teens.
We're in the teens.
Yeah,
recreational. Sure. So, like, medical, I think we're approaching on half.
Yeah, almost half.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
dude, it's happening. It's coming.
So, for sure. It's very exciting. Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
I still am interested about your stones, man.
Let's take a pee break.
Let's take a pee break?
Yeah.
All right.
We'll pause and save.